Now, I said a few moments ago, I need the boys and girls to come and help me this morning. So I'm going to speak from down here just for the rest of the service. I'm going to invite, if there are any boys and girls here this morning, I know if you're away with family and others, if they want to come up. And if I don't have enough, we're going to have to bring the age range up a wee bit. So young people, watch yourselves. But so if all the boys and girls want to come up, we'll see how many we'll have this morning, because I need some help as we come to look at our Christmas encounter of the wise men. So I don't think I have enough. Do you want to come sit just in here? You want to come with me? You come on down here. You sit beside Lewis there. That's it. Oh, I don't know. I think if you're under 13, I want you to come up. Come on, we need a few more. Good man, Jonathan. Scott as well. Come on up. Now, I was thinking of Christmas time, and I was thinking at times of all the different things that we can get distracted from the real message that the Bible tells us about the coming of Jesus at Christmas time. Now, they're all good things, they're all things we enjoy, but sometimes we can get a little distracted. So what I've done today is I've brought some hats, which I need some volunteers to come up and put the hats on and see if we can guess a little bit more about some of the things maybe we get distracted about at Christmas, and then the one thing we need to remember about at Christmas. So, who's going to be my first volunteer? Do you want to come up? Come on up. Great. Let's have a wee rustle in this bag. Let's see what hat we can find. Oh, what's that? Do you want to put it on? You put it on. You turn around for everyone to see. What kind of a hat is that? Do you know? Does anyone know? Yeah, Lewis. A woolly hat. And why would you wear a woolly hat? Because it's cold. That's right. And a lot of people like, you come over here as well. You come over here and stand in the middle for everyone to see you. So a woolly hat. And sometimes we need these at Christmas time, don't we? And a lot of people, what do a lot of people want to happen on Christmas Day? Snow. That's right. Everyone wants it to be lovely and snow. We had a bit of frost this morning. We haven't had any snow. But everyone thinks sometimes with Christmas is all about having snow and having the fire on and being nice and cuddly and warm and going out for those walks in the snow. Like Christmas can be about that. And that distracts us at times from the real meaning of Christmas. Okay, right. I have another hat here. Does anyone else want to come up? Who wants to come up? Reuben, do you want to come up? No? Okay. Nathan, do you want to come up? Come on. You come up and pick one up. You pick one out there. Oh, what kind of a hat is that? Oh, you stand over here, Nathan. Let everyone see you. So what do you think that reminds us of that a lot of people get distracted about at Christmas time? Anyone know? Santa, or what do we get? Presents. Did anyone get any nice presents this morning? What did you get, Lewis? An iPad. Very good. Anyone else get anything nice? Jonathan. A laptop. Very good. What did you get? What's your first name again?
Molly.
Molly. What did you get?
I get loads of things like LOLs.
Oh, I don't know what those are, but they sound like fun. Very good. Oh, very good as well. So sometimes we get so distracted by all the presents at Christmas, don't we? And all the nice things that people buy us. Now, here's a question. How early were you up this morning? Who was up before 8? Who was up before 7? Oh, anyone up any earlier than that? No? Oh, very good. It's more getting to go to bed at some nights. But yes, sometimes we can get really distracted. What time were you up at, Molly? You slept in? Oh, brilliant. That was a great Christmas present. So sometimes we get really distracted by all the presents we can get. Okay, who's going to come and get my next hat? Lewis, I was half a hand up. Come on. What else is in here? What about that hat? What kind of a hat's that? Who knows? What kind of a hat's that, Molly? A party hat. And sometimes we get really distracted at Christmas by all the parties that we have. And, you know, we all get together as family and friends and we play board games at times. Anyone play board games? Yeah? What's your favorite board game, Lewis? Twister. Oh, energetic after a Christmas dinner. So sometimes we can get so distracted by all the party and all the fun and all the festivities that we can have as well that we forget the real meaning of Christmas. Right, let's see. Who else wants to be brave? We have two more hats. Jonathan, come on up. Oh, what kind of a hat's that? Does anyone know what that is? What is it? I don't like these. I don't know if anyone here does, but I don't like them. Matthew, do you know what that is? What is it? It's a Christmas pudding, so it is. It's a Christmas pudding hat. And what do you think that reminds us of? What does it remind us of? Christmas dinner. All the food that we eat over Christmas. And, you know, we get sore tummies sometimes because we eat far too much at Christmas. But sometimes we get all distracted by the turkey and the ham. And anyone like Brussels sprouts? Oh, very good. Very good. I like Brussels sprouts too. Sometimes we can get so distracted by all that that we forget the real meaning of Christmas. Right, I have one more hat here. And it's between the two boys. Who wants to come up? Oh, come on up. Now, what is this? A crown. That's right. A crown. And what do you think the crown reminds us of? What do you think? The king, of course. A crown is worn by a king. And when it comes to Christmas time, yes, we enjoy, well, I don't enjoy Christmas puddings, but we enjoy the food, and we enjoy sometimes going out in nice cold walks with our woolly hats on, and we enjoy all the presents we get, and we enjoy the parties. But what we need to remember is that Christmas is all about the coming of the king. God's king who comes into the world to rule in our lives and to forgive us of our sins. So thank you to all my volunteers. Let's give them a wee round of applause for helping me this morning. And we'll put all our hats away. And you can all go and sit back where you were sitting now. Reuben, do you want to go back down to Mummy? No, you just want to sit there? That's okay. You want a front row seat. So that was just a little introduction to what we're going to look at this morning. To remember what Christmas is really all about when we get so tied up in all those other things, we remember that Christmas is about a crown. It's about the coming of Jesus into the world as our king. And that's what the story of the wise men recognize in Matthew chapter 2. It says in Matthew 2 verse 2, they come and say, "Where is he who has been born king? King of the Jews. For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." God's king has been born and they come to find him. And they want to worship him. And for a short time this morning, I just want us to think about two responses, two ways that people act when they hear about Jesus being born as the king in Matthew's gospel that Ernest read for us earlier. And they couldn't be more different in response to hearing this news that Jesus has been born. The first response we see is the response of Herod. Herod, who was the king at that time. And the second response is the response of the wise men. So there are the two responses I want us to think about briefly this morning. So the first thing I want us to think about is the response that Herod gave. Has anyone here ever seen The Lion King? Lois, have you seen, Molly, you've seen The Lion King? Any of the adults here ever seen The Lion King? Now, they've just made a new one, and I bought the new one for my wife, but we've lost it. We don't know where it is, so we haven't watched it yet. But The Lion King was one of my favorite movies when I was growing up, and Reuben loves it too, and I'm sure many of us here have seen The Lion King, whether it's the old one or the new one. But in The Lion King, at the start of the movie, there's someone's born. Who's born at the start of The Lion King? Molly. Do you remember? Simba, that's right. The baby lion is born, and they take it out onto the rock, and they show it out up in the air for everyone to see. The baby lion is born because he's born, and he's going to be the next king, isn't he? But there's someone else in the movie who doesn't like Simba. Does anyone remember who he is? Lewis. Scar, that's right. His uncle, his evil uncle, who doesn't like him. And Uncle Scar gets rid of his father, the king, and then he sets out to try and get rid of Simba, the newborn king, and he wants rid of him, and Simba has to run away to a foreign land, and then he comes back when he's grown to challenge that imposter king.
and to take up his throne. And the story of the Lion King reminds us a little bit of what happens, what we read here in Matthew chapter 2 in the Christmas story. You see, we read of the coming of a new king, King Jesus, born as a baby, but there's already an imposter king, a king who shouldn't really be king on the throne, and his name is Herod, and he's the king at that time. And it says in Matthew 2 verse 1, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king," there's already a king when King Jesus is born. You see, Herod wasn't the true king. Remember all the kings, they all had one person in common who they came from. Does anyone remember who that was? There was a very famous king, and it was through his line, through all his children and their children and their children and their children, that the kings came from. Who was the most famous of the kings? Begins with D. Lewis? David, that's right, King David. And all the kings came through the line of King David. King Herod didn't come through the line of King David. And yet he had been appointed the king. He wasn't even Jewish. He wasn't even one of God's people. But the Romans who conquered the land had put Herod in charge as a puppet king. The Romans were pulling his strings, but he was in charge. He was an imposter king. He shouldn't have been king. And yet he was. He's in charge as Jesus is born as the king. And when the wise men see the star and they realize that God's king has been born, and they make that really long journey from where they were all the way to the land of God's people, and they come to Jerusalem, the capital city, because naturally that's where they think the king's going to be born. The new king's going to be born in the palace, isn't he? And they come to Jerusalem in verse 2 and 3, and this is what it says. This is what they tell the people. They say, "For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." They begin to ask about, where is this king who's been born? Then we read in verse 3, "Then Herod the king heard this. He was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." As the wise men come and they make that long journey and they come to Jerusalem and they say, the new king has been born, God's king has been born. When King Herod hears about it, he's not happy. He's not happy. It says there he's troubled. The New Living Translation says he's deeply disturbed. It was a word that was used to describe when you have water, and water's all nice and still, isn't it? Maybe you have a bowl of water. And what happens when you smack your hand into a bowl of water? What do you think, Molly? What happens if you hit your hand into a bowl of water? Creates waves, doesn't it? It disturbs the water. And that's what that word troubled means. It means as if you hit some still water and caused waves, caused ripples. Herod is not happy when he hears about the birth of God's king. His mind is disturbed. He's worried and he's fearful. And not only is he worried and fearful, but Jerusalem is fearful too. You see, the worst thing about Herod and the worst thing about the people of Jerusalem wasn't that they didn't believe that God's king had come. It was their reaction when God's king came. They were troubled. They don't want God's king. They want rid of him. And what does Herod decide to do? Well, verse 4, he assembles all the chief priests and scribes of the people, and he inquired of them where the Christ, where the Messiah, where God's king was going to be born. He gathers all the brains of Israel together, all the people who knew the Bible, who knew the Old Testament, who knew all about this coming Messiah, this coming king, and he asks them, well, where is this king going to be born? And they knew. They knew where he's going to be born. And it's interesting, again, Herod knows that God's king is going to be the promised one of the Old Testament. And that's why he gathers these religious leaders together. He knows. And again, the shocking thing is that the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, the ones that knew their Old Testament, they knew where God's king is going to be born. Verses 5 and 6. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Herod is told where the newborn king is going to be born. The religious leaders know where the newborn king's going to be born. He's going to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. The promised Davidic king that the prophet Micah and others had spoken about. They knew where he was going to be born. They know it. Herod knows it. They know that the wise men have come announcing the birth of the king. And what is the response? What's the response of these religious leaders, these people who knew their Bibles? What's the response of Herod? Do we find them excited? Do we find them rushing off to Bethlehem, trying to find their Messiah, their coming king? I heard the other week when the new Star Wars movie came out that people were camping out in Trafalgar Square, I think it was in London, for 3 or 4 days waiting for the Star Wars film to be released. We don't find too many camping out in Bethlehem when they hear that God's king's been born. They're not excited. They're not running off to Bethlehem to see for themselves. No, there's disinterest. There's fear. They knew all about what God had said in the Bible about his coming king. But they're not actually interested when God's king comes. The only person who's interested is Herod. But he's not interested for the right reasons. Because he knows what the coming of this king means. God's king. He realizes with the coming of God's king, he's finished. He's finished. He's the puppet king. And there's no place for the puppet king when God's king comes to rule. And he must get rid of God's king. So he comes up with a plan. He finds out when the star appeared so he knows roughly how old this child is. He tricks the wise men to go and he says, you go find God's king. And when you find him, you come and tell me because I want to go and worship him too. And all the while he's planning and he's plotting to get rid of God's king. For Herod the puppet king, there's no place for God's king. There's so many lessons we can still learn today from Herod, isn't there? Jesus as king is not a popular message. People are happy with the emergency God, the God who's there when I'm in trouble that I can run to, but really I can just live my life the rest of the time whatever way it please. They're happy with religion. They're happy with head knowledge that makes no demand on your life. But a Messiah king, God's king, the one who comes to lay claim on your life, will not have that king. The Bible tells us that each one of us, whether we're young or we're old, we're born in sin. We're imposter kings and queens like Herod was of our own lives. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they rejected God as their king. They're deceived by the devil who promised them kingship, said, you'll be like God. And it's a sorry story of history. We've rejected God's rule. We've become puppet kings. We've been promised control and freedom, and yet we're enslaved by a power much greater than ourselves, the power of sin. We're just a puppet king like Herod under the control of the Romans. We're puppet kings under the control of sin. And yet the wonderful message of that first Christmas is that God's king comes to rescue us from being puppet kings. He comes to bring us back to God, to forgive our sin, to bring us into his kingdom so that he might take up residence and rule in our lives, to restore us, to forgive us, to transform us. So many today still respond to the coming of God's king like Herod. They reject his rule. They do anything they can to cling to that little bit of power they have over their lives. Yet ultimately they're controlled by a force far greater than them. Maybe that's you this morning. You've heard about this king, God's king, Jesus, and how he's come to reign, but you're still responding like Herod. You're still saying, no, no, God, I still want to rule in my life. You can come this morning, Christmas Day, 2019, and you can surrender that control to God. And you can say, forgive me, come in and change me. And you can bow the knee to King Jesus, who will set you free from the rule of sin, forgive and change you and bring you into his kingdom, and come and rule in your heart. We see the response of Herod. God's king comes, I don't want God's king. I want to be king. Secondly, we see the response of the wise men. There's lots of stories around the wise men. We don't know how many of them were. There's usually 3 of them because there was 3 gifts when we think about them. But we know very little about them. They were probably very learned men. They were into astrology, looking at the stars. They probably came from the Arab Peninsula or from Babylon. They're foreigners. They're outside of Israel, outside of who were seen as God's people at the time. And yet their response to the coming king is so different to Herod and the religious leaders. They come in verse 2 with the question, where is the king of the Jews? They're not Jews, they're Gentiles. They're not seen as being part of God's people, they're seen as being outsiders. In contemporary Jewish thought, the Messiah wasn't for the Gentiles. The Messiah was only for the Jews. The Messiah was meant to destroy the Gentiles. That wasn't the view of Scripture. Psalm 72, 10 to 11, the kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 3, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. And his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. When God's anointed, when God's king comes, the Old Testament had foretold that the kings of the nations would come and bring gifts. And the visit of the wise men is just a little symbol of that in the Christmas story. They followed the star. The Gentiles would come to the light. The wise men, they didn't have the background, they didn't have the scriptures, they're far away from Bethlehem, they had no claim to call Jesus king because they weren't seen to be part of God's people, and yet God reveals it to them and miraculously draws them and guides them to worship the king. Because that's what they've come to do. That's their response. It's worship. It's praise. Verse 2, we have come to worship him. Verses 10 and 11, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasure, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. There was joy. There was worship. There was the bowing of their knee before the king. They gave those famous gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gifts of a king. Gold, which reminds us of royalty. Frankincense, which points to Jesus' role as our great high priest, that go-between between us and a holy God because of his perfect sacrifice. Myrrh, that perfume that was used to anoint the dead, which pointed to the day where he'd hang on a cross with a sign, here is the king of the Jews. And he died for our sins so that we might be saved. What's the response of the wise men? They hurry. They hurry to pay homage to God's king. They're overwhelmed in worship to him. And as we close this morning, that's still the response we need when it comes to God's king. When we understand who this king is, when we encounter him for himself, ourselves, that we might bow in adoration before Emmanuel, God with us, God's king has come. He saved us from our sin. He's risen again to defeat death. And he promises that one day he'll return as king. As we celebrate Christmas Day today, as we enjoy the food and the festivities and the cold weather and everything else, let's remember the rightful place of Jesus as king. That today and every day we would spend our lives in adoration and worship of the king. That's what I want to leave with you this morning. What is your response? What is your response to the coming of the king? Is it Herod? No, I don't want you to rule over my life. Or is it the wise man? Will you bow the knee in worship and you invite him in? The words of the old Christmas carol, "In the bleak midwinter," come to mind. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give him my heart. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we meet in hope this morning, that our king has come, that he's died to forgive us of our sin, that he's risen again as the king of heaven, and that one day he's coming to reign. And Father, as we go into the rest of today and we enjoy our day with family and friends, Lord, may that wonderful hope of the gospel stay at the center of our lives. I pray if there's anyone here this morning who've never encountered Jesus as king for themselves, that even today they'd stop responding like Herod and they come like the wise men and bow the knee before Jesus. And Lord, for those of us who do know you, we pray that you'd help us to live every day with you as our king, taking our place in your kingdom and living in joyful worship with Jesus as king of our hearts. Be with us the rest of the day, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.